there are more scriptures in the Bible about your tongue and the function of your tongue and your mouth and your lips and your words than any other part of the anatomy or any other part of the life in God.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Do the things we say mold our future and set a pattern for our lives? Today, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reveal the importance of the words we speak every day.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. I have my good friend, Billy Brim, from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks with us today, and we're already having a good time here in the studio. So we are glad you're with us, Billy. Welcome.
Well, thank you so very much.
The broadcast.
And I'm so glad they're with us because you know when I'm going out all the time, Gloria, they come up to me and they say to me all over the world, you know, we just love it when you and Gloria are on, and we really do get us a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and we get our Bibles, and we sit down with you. And so today and this week, that's really a week that you're going to want to get your Bibles and sit down, because we're going to really do some studying. And we did it last week, and I said to Gloria,
It was so good.
We just enjoyed it. And I said, I wish everyone who's watching today, who's watching this week, would have watched last week. And then she reminded me of the wonders of modern technology. You can go online.
That's right.
To Kenneth and Gloria's website, and you can catch up from last week, because there really is a lot to catch up. And we're talking about the power of speech. We so enjoyed it. And Gloria said, why are you doing this? And I'm doing this because of something God showed me that's going to be happening in the church, in the glorious church, and I believe this year. And it is very, very important for us to learn the power of the spoken word. Now, Gloria and Ken and I, we learned about this 1967, I would say, and on. I don't know when you all started, but I started at that April 1967 meeting with Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. And even though I had been born again for about 20 years, I never heard anybody told me about my confessions, one word, what they should be. And in fact, they were very, very bad. They were filled with, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of this, and if you don't stop doing that, that, and this and that. But then we learned from Kenneth E. Hagin about words. And this little book right here, oops, dropped my handkerchief, excuse me. This little book right here, Words by Kenneth E. Hagin, it's so neat. I did this book years ago in the 70s. I was his editor for about 10 years. Stayed close to him all of his life. And but this book I give to my children, my grandchildren, because words have so much to do. God created this earth with words in the beginning. And God said, and God said, and God said. And we create our world with words.
Amen.
You create the atmosphere in your home with words. And so this little book, you know what? They're going to give it to you this week. Isn't that neat? You be sure to sit right down and read it and then start practicing it in your life. And it starts off, Brother Hagin writing, Jesus himself said, For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12:37. When I was meditating, Kenneth Hagin writes, on this subject, one word from this text kept going over and over in my spirit, and that was the word words. Something on the inside of me seemed to impress me to teach on words. Words are more important than people realize. Words make us or break us. Words heal us or make us sick.
That's right.
According to the Bible, words destroy us or make us full of life, happiness, and health. Our words, the words we spoke yesterday, made life what it is today. That agrees with what Jesus said in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, those things which you say are words, those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever the words that he speaks. Positive or negative, you will have what you say. Writing on page 11, he said, learn to make words work for you. Learn to fill words with power that cannot be resisted. The way you fill words with power that cannot be resisted is to fill words with love and faith. Now, what God's been talking to me about is power in the spoken word. So this what this is about, power in words. And we want our words filled with power. Listen to this from Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's power. You have the power of life, creating life in your house and in you, or you have the power of death.
Some people love evil talk.
Yes.
You know, there's a scripture, and so prevalent today in today's society, evil talk.
We're going to talk about that in about 2 days.
Are we?
Mm-hmm.
There's a scripture that says, he loved cursing, let him wear it like a garment. Is that revealing or what?
You better look that one up before tomorrow. We'll give him the
reference. You could say, he loved blessing, let him wear it like a garment.
Yes.
Blessing. I love blessings.
I love blessings.
I'm going to talk good.
I don't want to wear the clothes of death and,
no.
and sorrow. Now listen to this one. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles.
Praise God.
I think that word there in the Hebrews is tribulations. Narrow places from outside pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of pressure in this world.
There is.
But you can keep your soul from it, that's your mind and your will and your emotions, by what
that's
you say in your mouth and how you use your tongue.
That's right.
And that's really what we're going to be talking about right now. We're going to talk about this gift of intelligent speech and the tongue. Now,
I want to be a witness to what you just said. Now, Ken and I have been doing this for over 40 years. I won't tell you how long Billy's been doing it, but Ken and I have been
about
doing
the same
it for
time.
Over 40. Well, we actually did
we
start
the same time.
40 years, and it has exactly come to pass in our life. When we spoke doubt, unbelief, fear, bad things were surrounding us all the time. But when we begin to turn our words around and speak what God says in the Word, we begin to say what He says about us and about this and about that, blessing began to overtake us.
That's right.
We've been overtaken. Hallelujah.
Yes, and you do. That's what you do. You begin to say what God says in the Word. I'll have some scriptures for you later on which tell you that. You take His Word, you put it in your mouth,
exactly,
and you say
it.
And you have
it. We can do this.
We can do this. It's very doable, and we are going to have to do it.
That's right.
Now.
That's right.
For life and peace.
The
and,
days are dangerous.
And the souls. Peace, the mind's peace, because you see what's going on around you in the world, and it's not getting better. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse, but not your world.
That's
and
right.
not where, you know, the future is very, very bright for us.
Oh, yeah.
And so we can be kept from these tribulations, based on what we say, what we believe in our hearts and say with our mouth.
That's right.
Now, you and I learned this from Kenneth E. Hagin, 1967. We started learning it. Well, the Lord dealt with me recently about it and teaching on it. And He said, now, actually, it didn't start there. It didn't start with Kenneth Hagin. A lot of people thought it did. They called us the name it and claim it. The blab it and grab it, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, they stand
there,
stand. Praise the Lord. Some
Still
of the
do.
Ones. Yeah, and some of them, you know, are like us now.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say speaking in tongues was of the devil. 1 week later, I was speaking in them. So,
yeah.
you know, yeah. it can just, you know, I'm sure a lot of those folks. But anyway. Nonetheless, we learned it then, and we learned it, even though Brother Hagin used lots of scripture from the Old Testament, we learned it primarily from the New.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord showed me recently that we need to know that this thing is a matter that's basic, fundamental, and started in the beginning. It's a gift from God, and it started in the beginning, this intelligent speech.
Yes.
So let's turn in our Bibles.
This is actually what God himself does.
It's what God did.
He didn't just dream it up for us. It's spiritual law.
He demonstrated it.
Yeah.
And God said, let there be light. And God said, let us make man in our image. On down to that. So, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And then he turned that man and put into that man what he'd just been doing.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to read right now in Genesis 2:7. First, we read it in our King James Bible translation. And you know that the Bible, the Old Testament, is originally written in Hebrew. And this King James is a translation from the Hebrew. And King James translators translated it like this, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, we're going to read to you from, and oh, we went into detail on this, because I say this often, other ministers say this often, and I went into the detail on this last week so that you could know that it's very respected, this translation called Onkelos. Now, I'm going to be reading to you about the Onkelos translation, but I'm going to be reading it from the Chumash. Gloria and I, we like this Chumash.
We love this.
This is the stone edition of the Chumash. Guess what that means, Chumash?
I don't know.
Well, here's how you count in Hebrew. Achat, shtaim, shalosh, arba, chamesh. Chamesh is five. So the Chumash is the first five books of the Bible.
I didn't know that.
The books of Moses, the Torah. And this is the first five books. And this is the stone edition, which you could get from Art Scrolls online. Or you can get it from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. You can get it from Billy Graham Ministries. We all have this available. Now, in the Chumash, and we went into this yesterday, they have translated... Here is the Hebrew trans. No, here's Hebrew. That's the original. That's how it was right there. And over here, then, they have the English translation. But in the middle, they have a little column in there. And that little middle column in there is the Aramaic translation of Onkelos. An older gentleman rabbi told me, he said, you can remember it by saying Onkelos.
Onkelos.
But it's Onkelos, and Onkelos did one of the first translations out of Hebrew into Aramaic. It is so highly regarded that in most of the Bibles, the rabbinically approved Bibles, they will have Onkelos there in the Aramaic. Now, here is how it reads as translated by the Art Scrolls Stone Edition, Genesis 2:7. And Hashem God formed the man of dust from the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the soul of life, and man became a living being. Now, they are going to tell you down here that Onkelos translates it a little differently into the Aramaic. And here's what they say down here at the bottom of the page. Onkelos defines this as a speaking spirit, a living being. He defines it as a speaking spirit. Accordingly, the life that is unique to man and which only God could blow into him is the rational soul that includes the power of intelligent speech. This is what elevates a human above animal life, the spirit, this intelligent speech as well in the man. This is what elevates a human above animal life, the ability and therefore the responsibility to use his intelligence and his intelligent speech, we might say, in God's service. That's what our speech is all about. Now, you know,
A speaking spirit.
I learned so many things. When my husband passed away in 1986, I prayed about what to do. And the Lord told me to go and study Hebrew in the land. So I went and I studied in spoken language Hebrew at an Ulpan, Ulpan Akiva in Netanya, Israel. And I love that language. The more I learn about it, the more you find you don't know. And people who have studied it for years and years see what a marvelous language it is, the Hebrew. And it has so much to do with the spoken word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And even the Hebrew word for word, we looked at that yesterday, is devar. And it can mean a word, or it can mean a matter, or a thing. And then we found the root word of that. All these Hebrew words grow from roots. Means to arrange, to speak,
to
arrange by speaking. Yep. So we arrange with our words our lives. You arrange your atmosphere. You arrange your attitude by your words. Hallelujah. Bless the
and
Lord.
And you could say you can rearrange.
You can
your
rearrange.
Atmosphere
we have done
words.
It.
Believe me, you can do it.
Yes. You can rearrange, like you can rearrange your furniture in your house.
That's
you can
right.
rearrange the atmosphere of your house simply by rearranging your words.
Yes, that is the best description. That was my favorite thing of everything.
Isn't that
you
great?
Said yesterday.
Isn't that great?
It, or last week, that was it.
And so since you could, Judaism, and is the root of Christianity. Mm-hmm. Judaism could exist without Christianity.
Right.
But Christianity
exactly
cannot
right.
exist without Judaism. Mm-mm. And so since that is a great basis and foundation of Christianity, Jesus was talking about the principles they knew. When he said, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned, that is something established in what we call the Old Testament. They very well knew that. And so he's just reminding them of it.
Mm-hmm.
And reminding them that their idle words would meet them again at the day of judgment. And idle there means they weren't productive.
Wow.
In that scripture, it doesn't even mean they were so bad. They just didn't produce anything good, you know. They were non-working words. So I'm going to go into this today and tomorrow. This is a book that Gloria and I have been reading and studying. And it's this gentleman is, this includes vignettes from the life of Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim.
Chofetz Chaim.
I have a surprise for you today.
What?
I learned
he's
what,
here?
No. He's gone on. But I know what this word means, Chofetz Chaim. I knew it was his name, but I didn't know what it meant.
Chaim is life. It's life. Is that life?
Chaim is life. So let's turn to Psalm 34.
Psalm 34.
And I'm going to be reading it in my Tehillim if I brought it, and I did. Psalm 34. And it's actually 12 in our King James Bible, but in the Hebrew Tehillim, it's verse 13. Because the Jews always include that little opening part as a verse. Like it says, if this is a Psalm of David, that'll be verse 1. So here we are. This is Psalm 34, 12 in your Bible, King James, or 13. Which man desires life? Who loves days of seeing good? Guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceitfully. You see this word divide here, desires life?
Mm-hmm.
Chofetz Chaim.
Is that right? How about that?
His name is?
Desires Life.
He desires life.
Well,
and so I don't know whether, I haven't studied his life, so I don't know whether he took that name. But he was known throughout all of his life because he learned to do that thing
that
right
is
there.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
He learned to do that thing. Guard your tongue from evil.
Wow.
And he majored in that. And so he was very well known for his, what he had created around his life, you know, good. And so Chofetz Chaim.
That is really good.
Isn't that good? And that's one of the key verses in this book, and it's one of the key verses in the Jews' idea of the tongue and how important it is. There are more scriptures in the Bible about your tongue and the function of your tongue and your mouth and your lips and your words than any other part of the anatomy or any other part of a life in God. So it's so very, very important. And I'm going to be reading to you from this book, from the overview of it. The sheer number, this is from page XXXI from the overview, the sheer number of Torah directives relating to speech has no direct parallel in any other function. I mean, it is important. God tells you what to say. God tells you what to say. God tells you what to do. God tells you what not to say because it is creative. Charles Capps wrote a book called The Tongue, the Creative Force. Your tongue, like God, has the power of creativity. So I'm going to read you just a little bit in here, and then tomorrow we're going to be starting with this. This is on page XXI. The Torah's laws of speech, whose observance is capitalized by the timeless term Shmirat Lashon HaLashon, constitute God's plan for how people ought to live with each other. Now that word Shmirat HaLashon, Lashon is your tongue, and Shamir is a guard. So from that same scripture that we read, which man desires life, who loves days of seeing good, guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceitfully. So all of God's laws concerning the speaking, they succinctly put it under a capsuled heading called guarding the tongue.
So the Bible actually teaches name it and claim it. Glory to God.
My mother used to tell me, watch your tongue.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know it, but that came from the Bible.
Isn't that something? Well, I can vouch for that. That it works.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I like that, Billy.
Bless the Lord.
That is very, very good. Billy and I'll be right back.
Turn right.
Imagine knowing where to go at every turn. How to find your way even if you got lost.
Make a legal U-turn.
And having the confidence that you'll reach your final destination. Most people believe God has a plan for their lives, but with so many roads to choose, how do you know if you're on the right path?
You have arrived at your destination.
In God's Master Plan for Your Life, Gloria Copeland shares 10 keys to fulfill your destiny and help you find and connect to God's perfect will. God has the answers to all of your needs, and He has a personalized plan for every area of your life.
God has a plan for you. And we're told that if we'll seek Him, we'll find it. We'll find Him, and when we find Him, we'll find it. In your personal life, the more time you spend in the Word of God, and the more time you spend talking to God, the more of your master plan you will fulfill.
Gloria's latest book will encourage and inspire you to trust God and believe Him for His plan. God's Master Plan for Your Life is available wherever books are sold. Be sure to get your copy today. Even if you've taken a wrong turn along the way,
recalculating,
God can get you back on course and put you on the right path. Discover God's Master Plan for Your Life and allow the blessing of God to change your life forever.
I'm excited about the offer today. It's my new book called God's Master Plan for Your Life. And it comes, of course, from the Word of God, because that's where you're going to find life, is in the Word, as we're learning this week. And you can get it, any of your book, go to your favorite bookstore and get it, but you'll enjoy it because it is the Word of God. It talks about the life of God and how to live and the blessing of God, and God has a plan for your life. You say, well, if this is His plan, it sure is bad. Well, if it's bad, it's not His plan. Because
right.
He's got a good plan for your life. You may be going on, as probably most of the people in the world are, you may be walking down the wrong plan.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not happy, if you're not satisfied, go to God. He's got the answer for you. And I share in here many of the things that that in our personal lives that we've learned about walking in the power and the presence of God. Ken and I are two people who desire life, like Billy was talking mm-hmm. about today. And so we do what the Word says, and we have a great life. God blesses you when you know what He says and when you do it. And He's no respecter of persons. So I want to encourage you to get that. Have a Bible study in your home. You know, that's the way Ken, really, when Ken and Billy and I really came into this that we're talking about, the power of God and knowing God intimately and living by His Word, there weren't churches teaching it. I mean, actually, people were going into prayer groups. Now we've got great churches, but still there's a place for gatherings in the home where you can bring people in and minister to them and help share the things that you know. Now, you can get these books here in the United States at any of the bookstores. Or any place like that. Outside America, you order from KCM office in your area. Don't miss these broadcasts this week, because your life can be changed. And get ready to go to the internet, find out about the conventions. The first one is West Coast Believers Convention, June the 30th through July the 5th in Long Beach, California. If you want to change, make a change. The Word of God will change your life if you'll give it time. You have to get into it. So we want to invite you. Billy and I'll see you tomorrow. Don't miss any of the broadcasts. And remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org.
And He sent His Word to heal you, sent His Word to save you, sent His Word to fill you, sent His Word to love you.
Jump in to the fullness of blessing. Get totally immersed in God's Word at the 2008 West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location, come to the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days together with other believers from around the world. Come expecting an encounter with God. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Come to the Southwest Believers Convention August 4th to the 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Great Lakes Believers Convention is August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Finally, join Kenneth and Gloria at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign from the 13th to 15th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. To find out more, go to kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Because your words are patterned after the Word. Same principle, God spoke, you speak, and so you sow your words and you get a crop from it.